On this episode of The Edge, I interview Nancy Harris, founder and CEO of Restart Consulting and co-founder of Disrupt HR Chicago. On the episode, Nancy explains how to identify pain points within your organization, common pain points she's seen organizations face today, how HR teams can reevaluate their HR process to understand how they can advance their process, and so much more. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Edge. I'm your host, Emily Tatum, and today I am lucky enough to interview someone who is making major waves as an entrepreneur in Chicago, helping transform organizations and disrupt the HR space. Nancy Harris, thank you for coming on The Edge.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes. Nancy, you are the founder and CEO of Restart Consulting, as well as the co-founder of Disrupt HR Chicago. Let's talk about your companies. First, tell me about Restart Consulting.
So I started my company a couple of years ago, and it was really out of my need and really, frankly, my frustration. I had been in HR for 20-something years, and I had seen us working on and doing a lot of the same processes. I'll use, you know, performance reviews for an example. Mm-hmm. And they weren't working. You know, employees hated them. We in HR, at least I can speak for myself, we hated them.
Yes.
So I kept thinking to myself, there has to be a better way. And as, you know, fate would have it, the company that I was working at did some reorganization and some changes. And I decided at that time to leave, which actually ended up being a terrific thing. So I wanted to start off by saying, you know, the tagline for my business is reinventing work and re-energizing leaders. And it really kind of came out of that space. And, you know, I've been working with companies and I've been working with some individuals as well on, you know, how do we do that? How do we reinvent work? How do we re-energize leaders?
Yeah.
And I've even gotten a little bit more specific and started working with diverse leaders as well within our organization. So that's a little bit of history in terms of how Restart Consulting came to be and a little bit about what we do.
Yeah. So what does that mean? Like when you go into a company and you're looking to reinvent work and re-energize the leaders, what does that usually mean? Like how do you start?
Yeah, so a lot of times people will come in and they will say that a process is broken. And so I'll use the example of I worked with a client that had some challenges around talent management, right? They had feedback from their employees that they didn't know what they needed to do to advance in the organization. So they clearly knew, meaning the organization clearly knew that there was something wrong with their talent management process. So I came in and worked with them on really kind of gathering information, to be completely honest, to figure out where was it broken? Was it really broken? Was that the only thing that was going on?
Right.
And that's typically where it'll start. There's some kind of pain point. Either an organization is getting feedback from their employees, and that could be by means of they're walking out the door. Or that could be just feedback that they're getting from employee engagement surveys or focus groups. So any of those kind of points along the way are actually where people will start to kind of feel those pain points.
Okay.
And that's usually most of the time when they bring a consultant in or
right.
a different perspective is when there's some pain around it.
Yeah. What are the common issues that you're seeing? What are the common pain points?
Oh, gosh. Well, the one I talked about, you know, it's a different, I don't want to bring up the whole like millennial thing, but I will because a lot of organizations are struggling with how do we adapt and change to meet, you know, a different demographic in the workplace. So that's, that's one area, right?
To attract and retain.
Oh, it's to attract and retain, also to develop, because there's different expectations around, developing individuals within an organization as well. So,
What are you seeing with millennials with that in terms of being able to attract and retain and develop? Like, where are you seeing successes in that in terms of successfully attracting them or successfully retaining or developing?
It's a simple thing, and it's about listening, and it's about getting feedback from what people want, because I really don't think that millennials want things that are that different than the generation before that, right? They want feedback. Okay, not many people would tell you that they don't want feedback, right? They want to feel like there's purpose in terms of what it is that they're doing. I think most people would like that, right? Yep. I just think this generation is more vocal about it.
Totally.
And that's where I think you're seeing some of the, whether you say pain points or discrepancies or how do you deal with it. But I think if people would step back and really ask, even look at different generations, they're probably asking for the same thing, right?
Right.
So I think it's really listening and listening across the board. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you've got to adapt everything, but some of the stuff just makes common sense, right?
Yeah, totally. And when people call you and they come to you and they say, we have a pain point and we need to solve this pain point, and you go in for that pain point, do you ever uncover other pain points in the process?
I'm laughing. Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, typically what people think is the issue, I always say it's like an onion. So you start with the one layer and then you start peeling it back, and there's other things that are underneath it. Especially if an organization maybe hasn't, used a survey tool or gotten feedback, and they just think this is what the issue is, and they're not really sure. Lots of times that can happen. I'll use an example. It was the same one around the talent management. I went in, the initial issue was, okay, employees don't think that they're advancing in the organization. Mm-hmm. So as I started to do some research, interviews, talking, that was part of it. But there was also this big, big elephant in the room, that the leadership and the leadership team wasn't aligned, and they weren't communicating things properly. So of course then that wasn't getting communicated appropriately to employees, right? So what seemed to be, this one issue ended up being something else.
Yeah. And it really does take a third party typically to come in and be able to identify that for you, because you have blinders when you are a CEO. Sometimes you can have blinders. I'm not saying all the time, but you need that outside perspective. It's like when you were younger and your mom comes in and tells you, like, no, you are acting out this sort of way. You're like, what? So it's just the learning process and being able to identify those pain points for organizations and help them grow, help them succeed.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's talk about Disrupt HR Chicago too. I digress when I started going into direct questions about Restart Consulting. So let's talk about Disrupt HR Chicago as well. What is Disrupt HR Chicago?
So simply put, it's an information exchange, and it's really built around the principle of, the keywords around disrupting HR, but it's really even broader than that. It aligns with that kind of reinventing piece. How do we reinvent the function of HR? And not even just the function, but anyone that's involved with developing people, right? So it's, even though the title says Disrupt HR, we are looking to bring that message to a broader audience as well. So really at its core, it's an event, but it's much bigger than that. So we've had 3 events to date. We have been very fortunate and feel very humble that they've all sold out. We host them at 1871. And I think what we realized after maybe the first event, you never know what to expect, but definitely after the second event, is that how do we make this and build this into a community? So mm-hmm. it's not just an event that happens twice a year, but it is an opportunity to build a community of people, again, whether they're HR practitioners, you know, CEOs and founders, a line manager in a manufacturing environment, or, you know, an executive director at a nonprofit, you know, how do we, you know, build this community of people who want to do things differently mm-hmm. and look at talent differently?
Yeah. And I would like for you to describe, too, the format of the event.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's very unique.
Yeah. So it's an Ignite format. Mm-hmm. And so basically we have typically between 10 to 12 speakers mm-hmm. and they have 5 minutes to present and their slides automatically advance every 15 seconds.
No pressure to have down to a T.
And they can only have 20 slides.
Wow. It's amazing.
Yeah. So it really forces the presenters to be laser focused in what they're talking about.
Definitely. Yeah, and I will say on Disrupt HR's website, you guys have a whole library of video content.
Yes.
For each speaker, it's, so you said 5 minutes, right?
Yes, 5 minutes.
So the videos are, they're short, they're five mm-hmm. minutes, and it, since the speaker has advancing slides, they have their speeches down yeah. to the second. So the videos are so engaging because they're just talking about topics, getting super specific in the topics mm-hmm. and just rolling straight through it. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love the videos on the page.
Yeah, and I think that's the other great thing about it too, that you talked about the video component mm-hmm. is that they're all videotaped, you know, along with their slides. So it lives forever, right?
Right.
So people can, you know, if somebody didn't have an opportunity to go to the event, they have an opportunity to listen in.
Yeah.
Right. And the beauty of it too is that the Disrupt HR is a movement that started I believe it was in Ohio. I mean, and now it has spread globally.
Right.
And so not only can you get some great insights from, you know, the folks in Chicago, mm-hmm. but if you want to hear about, you know, London, you can hear
amazing.
You know, London, or you want to know what's going on in New York.
Talent specifically in those places.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
Exactly.
So why did you feel that it was important to bring Disrupt HR to Chicago?
Well, I'll step back and say Nicole Desain, who I've had the pleasure of working with on Disrupt HR, she found out about it. And I think she initially was, you know, investigating speaking at Disrupt HR Chicago. Mm-hmm. And then she went to the website and was like, I see New York. I see these other, you know, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I see Cleveland. I don't see a Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And she reached out and found out there is no Chicago chapter.
Wow.
And Nicole reached out to me and asked if I would be interested. And I went on the website and I read about the mission, you know, around disrupting HR. I think, as I mentioned in my earlier point mm-hmm. of my frustration,
yeah.
I thought, sign me up.
Yeah.
Like I didn't even think about it. Like I didn't know what it would entail, but just the mission of, you know, changing and shaping and disrupting HR and the format, it was just something that I just was like, yep, sign me up. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. And what do you focus on? Because like you said, there are two events in a year and you guys produce incredible content around the events. How do you keep the community growing within those, beyond those two events and in between those two events where you do have such an incredible following that the events are sold out?
Yeah, so one of the things that we're doing this year that I'm very excited about, it's called Disrupt HR Shy Hacks.
Oh, cool.
So that's another event that we have, a much smaller event that is actually taking place next week, as a matter of fact. And it is based on design thinking principles. So what we did was we engaged our community at our last event and asked, you know, hey, what's one of your biggest people or talent challenges?
Mm-hmm.
Let us know. And we're going to pick the top one. And we're going to use a design thinking format to flush out, you know, some of, I don't want to say the answers per se, because, you know, some of them are big hairy problems, mm-hmm. but to give not just the person that presented the challenge, but also everybody in the room, right, you know, some bits of information, some ways that they can approach the issue. So we're testing that out, right?
Yeah.
Because we do surveys after all the events, and people are always saying, what else can we do to, you know, get more involved? And can you have another event? I was like, that we yeah, to have another huge event like that with 250 people, if anybody's ever coordinated an event.
It's tough.
That's tough to do. I always say it's like having, you know, planning your wedding like twice in a year. You know
oh
what
my
I
gosh,
mean?
So yeah.
It's like crazy. But this event where we've got 50 people, you know, and it's focused on a specific, you know, talent challenge, mm-hmm. Very interactive design thinking format, that's something else that helps to build the community. Also, Brittany has been helping and has been instrumental around social media. Mm-hmm. So that's something else that we are, you know, actively, you know, trying to get the community more engaged. We have a LinkedIn page now, and I am the speaker point of contact. So all the speakers, they're not vetted through me, but all the speakers, I'm their point of contact once we've identified who those speakers are going to be. And so I've been working with them because they're like, hey, we want to have our own community too. But as part of that, you know, we're thinking, how can we continue to get their voices out there?
Yeah.
So we've been talking about things about possibly hosting a Twitter chat and, you know, doing some other things that, again, helps to continue to build, grow the community and make it stronger.
Right. Absolutely. Engaging everybody.
Absolutely.
Creating a voice around the brand mm-hmm. that everyone can partake in.
Absolutely.
And what are some of the issues that when you tapped into the community and asked them what they would like to solve, the talent challenges that they're facing, what are some of those challenges that they're saying?
A couple came in around diversity and inclusion, you know, a big one.
Yeah.
There were also some ones around motivation. And the one that we actually ended up picking has to do with employee engagement for a nonprofit.
Interesting.
And why that was, that was so interesting was because a lot of times, you know, everyone will talk about what, you know, Google is doing mm-hmm. or what, you know, some Fortune 50 company is doing. Well, what if you're a smaller organization?
Yeah, you can't afford the slide down the office
exactly.
to the unlimited cereal.
Right. And I don't know that that's always the best measure of engaging employees, but... But again, it's you know, we you know, you see all the information out there, and that is a really good challenge. I mean, how do you engage employees
mm-hmm.
and how do you motivate them when, you know, maybe, you know, they aren't making the big bucks of somebody that works at you know, a large, you know, company, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah, the speakers
will find out soon enough.
Say, yes,
right.
And you have a big background in one of the challenges with diversity.
Yeah,
how do you approach that in organizations when they are finding a challenge with inclusion and of diversity and aspects of that nature?
Usually, it's like we were talking about a little bit earlier. It's usually there's some kind of symptom. You know, it's like when you go to the doctor, you know, here's the five things that I'm noticing going on. It's the same thing that'll happen in an organization. It'll either be something around, oh, we're not able to retain, you know, I'll use women in our organization, mm-hmm. right? So that might be a symptom. You know, another symptom might be, you know what, we're able to attract women into our organization, but they seem to get to a certain level, and that's it, right? You know, they've tapped out, and so, you know, although typically, you know, organizations will see those symptoms, and I want to say if they're astute and if they're paying attention, and actually if they're surveying in some kind of way and getting feedback from their employees, all of those pieces kind of combine together to help, I'll use again the doctor theme, you know, kind of help you diagnose or help me diagnose, you know, what potentially could be going on in an organization.
Do you have a favorite situation where you're working on with an organization about solving a challenge, what that was and how you helped them overcome it?
When you say favorite situation, do you mean a favorite like tool or methodology
yes,
that I
method,
use?
Yes, method.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say inquiry and interviews. I love the power of interviews. And I also, I mean, you all do marketing, right? Mm-hmm. I love the power of focus groups as well.
Totally.
Because you get a lot of insights that you just sometimes don't get from employee engagement surveys. A lot of times the engagement on getting people involved and taking the employee engagement surveys is, you know, not so great.
Yeah,
right?
You're like pulling teeth.
Exactly. And, you know, some people, at least I've seen in some organizations, people are still somewhat hesitant sometime around, is somebody going to find out? This, that, and the other. But mm-hmm. when you bring in a third party, and I'll use an example of actually when I was working in internal HR, we were having some challenges in the organization, and we brought in an external consultancy, and they did focus groups. I mean, it was, I can't even tell you, it was so eye-opening for us.
Wow.
And I knew that as an HR, as an internal HR practitioner at the time, I would have never, you know, if I would have said, hey, I'm going to have my HR team go out and do these focus groups, it would have, I don't think we would have gotten the level of honesty and insights.
Wow. That's
had we not partnered with this firm externally to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's like the theme of today. It all comes back to listening
to your employees. Yeah, it really does.
To uncover your pain points and try to find solutions.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, somebody, we were talking about disrupting HR or reinventing work, and I always say that sometimes reinventing, it's about the simple things, right? Mm-hmm. It's not coming in with the best app and, you know, all this great software. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are all great tools. But at the end of the day, if you're not doing some of the fundamental things, you're just adding more complexity and you're just adding basically more complexity.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, a focus group, that's literally getting the employees in a room and talking. It's mm-hmm. not some crazy software that you have
exactly.
to download and people need to wear, I don't know, virtual reality glasses.
Exactly.
To participate. I
know.
Simple.
I know. It's so funny because actually one of our speakers, Claire Liu, has a company. It's called, I think it's called Know Your Company, right? And they just ask these simple questions, right?
Yeah.
So it's part of, you know, it's all based around, you know, engagement. But it's these simple questions that they ask to mm-hmm. pull to. It's not anything complex. It's not, you know, again, I think sometimes we have to shake ourselves and say, and take a step back and
totally.
Really get back to being simple.
Yeah, I love that. So you say that the way we've approached people and talent in the past won't be the best way to approach talent in the future. Can you explain this to me? What is the driving force for the need to change?
Oh, there's so many. One of which we talked about a little bit earlier, mm-hmm. which is changing demographics in the workforce.
Okay.
I mean, that in and of itself leads to different things. We talked about this a little bit earlier before the podcast. You said everybody here works remotely, or the
mm-hmm.
vast majority of people work remotely. Okay, that requires a different manager or leader than it did.
Totally.
20 years ago when I was working, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very different skills. So you've got people, you know, technology enabled, you can work in your pajamas anywhere mm-hmm. in the world, right? And be part of the same company, right? So that's one thing. The other thing around technology, right? Obviously technology enabled, where people can work anywhere. We're hearing more and more about, you know, artificial intelligence.
Yes.
So all of these things, you know, I could probably go on and on about some of the other things that are shaping, but, you know, those are some of the, you know, three like really big ones that are going on that, you know, if you were a leader, you know, I would even say 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you need to be successful, the skills that you need to be successful are different. You know, we're not in this command and control. When I started my career at Ford Motor Company, and, you know, I was working at a plant, right? And so it's very much, you know, you do this, you do that. I mean, very much, you know, kind of command and control environment. When you're working with a lot of different knowledge workers and people who are coming in and saying they want to have purpose out of what they do, me just telling you that you need to do this just because doesn't work. And you use the analogy about, you know, your parent telling you to clean your room or something just because, well, that's not really good enough.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And I think that it also, it takes a community to change as well. So that's what I love so much about Disrupt HR, being able to identify challenges within the market and saying, okay, how can we band together and all try to solve this solution? Where are some common grounds that we can all pair up and just try to solve this?
Exactly. And it's not just about speakers standing up on stage spouting off, you know, great information, right? It's then how do you take that information and act on it and actually do something and actually take, you know, like I said, it's all about the one thing. It's all about taking that one step.
Yes.
So if you heard something that inspired you, you know, the challenge is, what are you then going to do? What are you then going to do in your organization or in your community to bring about, again, just the small, change. It doesn't have to be anything massive, but just to start there.
Yeah. And that leads perfectly into my final question for you. For companies who are looking to make that small change or looking to disrupt part of their talent process, where do you advise that they begin? We were discussing earlier that this can be so overwhelming. Like, I need to make a change. Like, how do they start? Where do they look to go?
Yeah. I would say a couple of things. One we touched on is, you know, the first step is to listen. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, the first step is to take a step back, actually.
Cool. Yeah.
So that you get a better perspective of what's going on. Because as we said, if you're in it, sometimes it's very difficult to see. So I think it's about, you know, stepping back. And then it's about asking and then listening for those answers. And sometimes it's not going to be what you want to hear. So you've got to know that going in there. Use the example of the organization I worked with, and we brought in an external consultancy. When that information was shared with the leadership team, it didn't go, some of it, you know, didn't go over particularly well, right? So you've got to be prepared for that. Be prepared that there's going to be some positive things that come out of it and some things that, you know, you may be a little uncomfortable hearing. Yeah. But once you know that information, you know, take one step. I would say just the one baby step that you can take in terms of action around that item. So if you get feedback that the leadership team isn't communicating, no one knows what's going on. Okay. One, it could be 10 other things. Pick the one thing, right? And then do something. Even if it's as simple as, we're going to have more, you know, town hall meetings, or we're going to have, you know, more, our leaders are going to be more visible and hold, you know, one-on-one meetings. Whatever it is that you decide to do, it's not really the point. It's the action.
Yeah.
And then it's the consistency around it as well.
That's super important, the consistency, following up and making sure that those changes are coming into place.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing. Nancy, thank you so much for coming on The Edge today, sharing your knowledge with us. If listeners have any questions for you or want to follow up, what is the best way for them to contact you?
They can follow me on, well, a couple different ways. One is Twitter, and I'm at Restart, R-E-S-T-A-R-T, Nancy, N-A-N-C-Y. On Twitter, and then also via email at nancy@restartconsult.com.
Great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's The Edge episode. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. And you can also email me at etatum, T-A-T-U-M, at clearedgemarketing.com. And let me know if you have any questions or if you want to hear about anything in particular as it relates to our Women in Staffing series or our marketing episodes. So just shoot me an email and I look forward to connecting with you. Thank you.